Welcome to Catamount Insider. It's presented by Milton Cat. Get equipped and get to work, located on Cat Lane in Richmond. Now joined by UVM alum for the class of 1989, Jerry Tarrant. And we have a lot to talk to Jerry about because he was a big part of the interview process for head coach Todd Woodcroft, the new men's hockey head coach. Also just kind of checking in with Jerry. So, Jerry, thanks for doing this. How you doing? What are you up to?
It's been an interesting time. All my kids are back home, which has made it fun in a lot of respects. So there's been some positives, but boy, it'd be nice to get back to normalcy if that even will exist again.
So I know that you're a hockey coach. What do you have as far as at home drills for your guys? What are you working on? Stick handling, shooting? How do you handle this alone?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. So, you know, we never had our breakup banquet. As some people know, I'm the head coach of the Rice hockey team, with some other, UVM alums, but, you know, we never had our bank. We had a good season, got a lot of good players, a lot of good ones returning. And what I encourage them, a couple things to do is get away from the ice for a little while, start working on your strength and conditioning, and then do little things like just stick handle every day for 15 minutes. That's all you got to do. Just little things like that. Get a golf ball in your basement or whatever in your driveway and just stick handle. Those little things can go a long way. Some guys got shooting stations that they do. And then, like I said, the strength and conditioning is really, important. So for those kids that are really serious about it and want to up their game, I encourage that, but I also encourage the kids to play other sports. Not right now, can't, but you know, there's a lot of lacrosse players and baseball players and so on. I really think it's good to get away from the game of hockey a little bit and get some other, athletic, things in place, you know, and these kids play a lot of sports. So I encourage that. I think it's too early and you shouldn't be concentrating on one sport at this age.
So probably more importantly, how are you keeping up your golf game? What do you got going?
Yeah, exactly. First of all, you know I don't have a golf game, so I appreciate that. I have not swung a golf club since August of last summer. But I have a real theory about golf. First, I think it's the hardest game in the world. Secondly, I feel like if you play a lot, you're going to get worse before you get better. And so if I can become like a gimmick golfer where I can just get one thought in my head that gets me through 18 holes, then I can be okay for a little while. So that's kind of my thing. I'd love to play more, and I'm certainly looking forward to the weather turning, getting nicer, and hopefully getting out on a golf course. And I would think that golfing is a great social distancing. God knows the way I hit the ball, I won't be close to anybody else. So I spend most of my time in the woods and in the rough, and not the guys I play with aren't quite that bad. So anyway, those are things I'm certainly looking forward to, you know, through going through this whole coronavirus pandemic and self-isolating and all that stuff. It sure would be nice to get some sun and get out and just start seeing people again and some of that.
So now I'm excited to ask you a lot about Todd Woodcroft, and I know that you were a piece of the process as far as hiring the next head coach. Let's start with that. How were the alums and how were you involved in finding the head coach when the search was as wide as it possibly could be?
Right. So, as you know, Jeff Shulman, who's a very good friend of mine, was a teammate of mine, is the athletic director, of course. He just reached out to a couple alums. It was a couple alums and other people throughout the university and interested parties, and he did it in different groupings. So we were just one group. But Jeff was very clear that he was interested in our input, but he was going to be the decision maker, which I respect and agree with, because he's got to work with this individual, and this individual's got to be bigger than just a hockey piece, right? He's got to fit into the whole UVM ecosystem, whether that's the concentration on academics, whether that's the integration with the athletic department and the faculty and staff as a whole, and just being part of a community. And Jeff takes that stuff very seriously. So, you know, our role with the alums with having hockey experience was to kind of question certain areas. And I could talk to you about the areas that I was kind of asked to be part of or the ones that I focused on on our interviews. But, you know, our role was to have these discussions. Jeff and Joe Gervais, another teammate of mine in the athletic department, were on these Zoom calls. They were all done remotely, which is unique, right, in these times. Yet it was really something where after we got through seven, and as in our case, we went through seven. So they had already whittled the group down to seven. Top tier guys, all seven were very, very quality people. and coaches. And we asked our questions, and we kind of did scales and so forth, individual scales on our own. And we just, after it was all done, we all got together, metaphorically speaking, on Zoom, and we discussed each individual and what we felt the strengths and weaknesses were. But interestingly, Jeff didn't really ask for, you know, our top candidates or our bottom candidates. It was more of, I'm interested in your thoughts on each one of them and strengths and weaknesses. And he was using that, I think he and Joe, with the other data they were collecting from other areas to help really winnow it down to a final three. And then, of course, making the selection. So, you know, I was honored to be asked to be part of it. I enjoyed the experience. Obviously, the program means a lot to me. The game of hockey is still a passion of mine. So it was nice to be a part of.
So I feel like everybody who was a part of it, whether it was from the athletic side, the academic side, the alumni, everybody kind of had different things that were important, as you said, to the whole UVM ecosystem. What was important to you or to alums specifically when you were looking for the coach?
Well, I think, you know, I think the alums, I think we all generally have the same caring, right? We want good citizens. We want people that, you know, that we can be proud of. And it, you know, it's not a win at all costs by any means. Having said that, winning's really important. It matters. It matters to the players. As a player, it probably mattered to me more than it should have. But it matters a great deal. So I think the alums are kind of interested in the product on the ice. Like, is it a game they enjoy watching? Is it a team they enjoy watching? And what I mean by that is it's two different things. The game, you know, can be a very conservative game, you know, a dump and chase game, a real defensive game, or the game can be an offensive game. It can be a very run and gun, high talent, you know, type of effort out there. And everyone likes to score goals and likes to see goals being scored, but they also like to win. And those things work together, but there's a fine line. You know, the old saying, and I've used this on the radio with you, is you know, scoring wins scoring championships, but defense wins world championships, you know, and there's part of that that's accurate. So the alums are interested in having a good product on the ice that they really enjoy watching, but they want to see a program that's really competing at a very high level year in and year out for championships, whether that's a Hockey East or a national championship. That's what we want to see. That's frankly our goal.
So when you talked to Todd and you didn't know he was going to be the head coach at that point, I mean, you said you talked to seven candidates and you kind of just gave your list of strengths and weaknesses. What stood out to you in your conversations with him?
So first of all, he's very enthusiastic. Not that they all weren't, but he's very enthusiastic. But probably the thing that stuck to me the most is the different. It's kind of, you know, I've heard this expression used. I think maybe Jeff even used a breath of fresh air type of thing. But he comes from a unique place. Like everybody that we talked to outside of Todd had NCAA experience, and some people would say, "Yeah, of course, they should," and I would typically agree with that. But he brought kind of the National Hockey League experience, and there were some other National Hockey League experience coaches in there that had both NCAA and National Hockey League experience. And maybe what I should say is that, you know, one of the things I focused on a lot in my category to cover was recruiting, and I'll tell you why, because I believe, as you know. Michael, I have great respect for the coaching staff that's leaving us. I think Kevin and Kevin Patrick and Jeff Hill are fantastic coaches. I firmly believe that. But I also know that, you know, they would have liked to gotten players that they weren't always able to get, and they really made do with what they had. And all these coaches were very complimentary of Kevin Sneddon and his staff, just because they all recognized, yeah, they had a very tough couple of years, but no one ever came to Gutterson or no one ever played the Cats thinking it was going to be an easy game. They knew how disciplined the Cats were. They knew how hard they worked. They knew that they would play very stringent defense, and they knew they had a great goaltender. That stuff just kept coming out. But they also knew that they weren't likely to score a lot of goals against you. And if you could just get up, if you get up two goals, you're probably in pretty good shape, because the Cats, as we know, have struggled to score goals, not only 5-on-5, but on power play. it's a long breath answer for getting to my point where I want to talk to somebody about recruiting. You know, how are we going to get those, you know, first, second, third round draft picks to come to Vermont? We see BC and BU and guys like that. Now UMass has gotten there. Providence has gotten there. Northeastern's gotten there. We need to get those players to compete with them. At that high level caliber, high, get that power play up to 20-something%. Be able to average 3 goals a game, 4 goals a game. That's pretty little high, 4 goals a game, but you get my point. And so I wanted to see what Todd's ideas, all the coaches' ideas were for getting that sort of caliber player to UVM. And so I focused a lot on recruiting and how he would go about getting those sort of players. And there's some things that struck me. He knows what it takes. He's developed a lot of young players to become National Hockey League players. And one of the things I know about the kids coming today, frankly, even a lot of times when I was going, a lot of these kids, their goal is not just Division I hockey. Their goal is to play pro hockey. And if you can be one of those coaches that can tap your experience and show that you've worked with a Patrick Laine, who, if you're a hockey fan, know what a great forward he is for Winnipeg. You know, you've worked with those type of players and you've helped develop them. You know what it takes to play in the National Hockey League. You're going to go a long way toward helping those kids believe that you are the right coach to help them get their skills going to the right level so that they'll be ready for the National Hockey League when their time comes. And if you have those skills, you also have the respect of the advisors. And most of these kids have advisors now. They're not agents because they're not allowed to have agents, but they have these advisors. For all intents and purposes, these advisors are agents. These advisors are advising these kids where to go, how to get better, so that they can eventually be in the National Hockey League. And the advisors want that badly to happen because that's their paycheck. They're not going to get any money out of a kid until they become their agent and they make the National Hockey League. So you really got to have the trust of the advisors. And I think Todd spoke to that well, and I think he believes that he does have the trust of advisors, and therefore those people will help him recruit kids. He's got a lot of strong contacts internationally. He's done a lot of coaching at international levels. I, for one, don't believe that we're ever going to out-recruit BU, BC, Northeastern, even UMass now for those top-end Massachusetts kids. They're just going to get those kids over Vermont because that's what happens. So where are we going to get that same level of player somewhere else? Well, we'll get them. Todd's from Ontario. You know, he's got a lot of contacts there. But internationally, you know, we get a couple more Victor Staubergs and people, players like that. Those are very good hockey players that any team in the country would like to have. Todd speaks fluent French. Feels like he has connections in Quebec. I think Quebec is vitally important for us to get players. And I know Jeff Hill has been working since he started, which has only been 2 years. You know, we really haven't seen any of Jeff Hill's recruits come on the ice yet. You know, he started to make some big forays back into Quebec. And if you look at some of the best teams in Vermont's history, you don't have to look very far to St. Louis and Perrin to say, yeah, two French kids that really got this program to its highest levels. So I felt recruiting was important. I felt Todd had a breath of fresh air on how he would go about it. Listen, there's other good coaches in there that had a lot of success recruiting. So as I said, those other guys probably could have done it too. But what was intriguing about Todd was that he was somebody thinking outside of the normal realm of the NCAA approach and his contacts outside of that. And these other guys had great contacts too. I don't want to diminish them, but we're here talking about Todd.
Are you a little worried that he's going to go to Finland or Sweden and get a bunch of kids that you can't pronounce their names on the radio in a couple months?
No, because I'm not the play-by-play guy. I'll just talk about numbers.
All right, I'm a little worried about it, but as long as the team's in good shape, I guess I can work with that. So somebody that knows pro hockey and college hockey, what's going to be the, whether it's a challenge or what is Todd going to have to do as far as coming into college hockey and changing some things, or what's going to be different for him about coaching at the college level compared to the pro level?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the first one is, again, recruiting. You know, it's one thing to evaluate talent. And then, you know, if you're Winnipeg, you got the number 4 pick in the first round and the number 6 pick in the second round. Those players, you kind of own those players, right? Well, it's different in recruiting because these kids have lots of options and it's a free market. They can go anywhere they want. So he's going to have to kind of really, and he understands that. He knows that's the case. But it's a little bit of a different issue. It's not only evaluating talent, but then you got to convince the talent to come to Vermont as opposed to, you know, whether it's BC or North Dakota or something in between. So I think from the recruiting side, that's number one. Number two, I don't think that the coaching will be too different other than the time constraints. When you're in the National Hockey League, you got tons of ice time and that's their full-time job. So you can do a video review, you got your strength and conditioning, and you got your skills practice, and then you got your practice. It's going to be a little bit, you know, he's going to have a tougher time managing the time because now he's got student athletes. And although he's aware of it and discussed it at length in our discussions, I think that will certainly be an adjustment for him. But, you know, one of the things that also came out with all these guys, but, you know, his work ethic and the references he gets is that he's going to work awful hard at this. And I think the coaching staff we had, I know they worked awful hard at it, but he's going to follow that suit. He'll work very, very hard to make sure that he's doing all of the little things that are necessary to create a winning program here.
So can you try to put yourself in the shoes of the student athletes? I know you know a lot of those guys already pretty well, but they get this new coach, they're meeting him on Zoom calls and kind of just going into the summer with a little bit of uncertainty. What do you think it's like for a student athlete right now? You know who the coach is, there's not question marks there, but going into these next couple months, what are they feeling or thinking?
Well, I think, you know, I think Todd's done a great job of reaching out to the existing team and the recruits and kind of communicating with them. I think like any sense of change, there's going to be a level of excitement, right? It's just, there is. Whenever there's a change, there's a level of excitement. So I think a lot of the returners will be excited for the change to see what different things that Todd brings to the table. I think that... They also know that they have to prove themselves again, right? These current players were recruited by Kevin and his staff. So Kevin and his staff, you know, not that they weren't always challenging these kids, but kind of knew what they had and were there. These kids are kind of coming in with a blank slate. They got to reestablish themselves and prove that, you know, that they deserve to be on the team, that they deserve to be in the lineup and so on and so forth. So there's going to be a little more nerves and a little more pressure on them, I think, the returners. And I think the recruits, I think, you know, they weren't Todd's recruits. So, again, Todd, I'm sure, will be getting out and watching them whenever the hockey will start again. And they got to, you know, I'm not really sure how this works. I think that they typically honor certain offers, but I don't know if they have to honor offers that are 2 years out or whether he will or will not. I've certainly seen in other places, whether it was UMass or other, where the coach comes in and he just kind of cleaned house and all. So I think there's a little bit of nerves for those kids that, you know, have whether signed a national letter of intent or have given verbal commitments. I'm sure they're a little nerve-wracked, like, okay, I made this commitment, but is that coach still going to be interested in me? On the flip side, you know, Todd and his staff would be a little nervous, like, yeah, they made a commitment, but that was to Kevin and his staff. They might decide to make a change or whatnot. So you never know. I think it's both ways. There's a lot of work to be done, but I'm certain that I know Todd's already on it. He called me a couple of days ago just to check in and we talked at length about how hard he's working at A, finding a staff, and B, reaching out to existing players and recruits to reach out and let them know that he's in charge and he's excited to meet them face to face and watch them play and so on and so forth.
All right. And then kind of just, I know you've been giving him advice. So I was going to ask you, what advice would you give him, but what's your big piece as far as, you know, a guy who knows the tradition of UVM and you know how important winning is to the community. What's your big piece of advice to coach going forward?
Well, you know, I try not to give him advice. What I try to do is really talk about the excitement. I honestly think that this is an unbelievable job. You're in arguably the best conference in the country. You have this kind of self-contained fan base where there's no competition. We don't have any pro sports teams. We don't have any other major university sports teams, right? I mean, we have the basketball program that is done very, very well and is high caliber. but they're still not in the national level. They're not in the ACC. We get to play one or two of those teams a year because our team is so good. But this is an opportunity to grow a national contending hockey team in this environment will be incredible. And I talked to him about some of my memories as a player of coming to the rink before a game and having people having camped out overnight for tickets in January and walking around people to get into the rink that were just kind of in line waiting for the doors to open. And it was just such a great feeling for people to be so excited to come watch our team play and to be in the dressing room and hear the crowd chanting before we even got out for warmups. That's what will come back here with a winning program. And I kind of, you know, so I spoke to that with Todd and told him why I think this is such a unique job and where the upside is so high for him that he can't even understand how great it will be. And, you know, he talked about Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg's in a different level, of course, but he said, Jerry, we have two radio stations in Winnipeg that talk only Jets hockey. Two different radio stations, and all they talk about 24/7 is Jets hockey. So he goes, I appreciate that, and it comes with the pluses and minuses. He said, absolutely. But it's mostly a plus here because it's not a pro team, but you will have so much support with a winning program. You can't even believe it. So I didn't really give advice. I just talked about the excitement that I have for the future of the program and trying to get him excited about what this will be like for him as a head coach of a team that, you know, is competing for a Hockey East championship or a national hockey championship.
Yeah, I mean, in Burlington, we got one guy that all he does is talk about UVM men's hockey. So we're working on it. We'll try to get a couple more stations and see what we can do. Is there anything I haven't asked you, anything about coach or about the team that you want to get in before we let you go?
No, I don't think so. I told all the coaches, as an alum, I was very proud of the caliber of coaches that were interested in this job. I mean, they were all very high end, and there was a few that Jeff could have picked any one of them. And people wouldn't have batted an eye. I would also say that, you know, I think Jeff didn't make any safe choices. He it's not that he doesn't believe in this guy and was taking an unfair risk, but I appreciate the way he went about this. And he really did some out of the box thinking, because what struck me, and he didn't say this, but he doesn't want to just be an also ran. He doesn't want to just be, you know, he's trying to make a change that's going to really elevate this program to a consistently high level. And I think that's the route that he went with this pick. And I think it was really a very bold, but great pick. And I'm excited about it.
I think we all are. I think we're all really, really excited. Well, Jerry, thanks for doing this. And hopefully we'll see you on a golf course or an ice rink or something sometime soon.
My pleasure, and be well, everybody. And I can't wait to get back to normalcy. See you, Michael.
This was Catamount Insider presented by Milton Cat. Get equipped to get to work, located on Cat Lane in Richmond. Everyone stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon.